Just make it.
I was checking each of you off.
Second item on the agenda is comments. Just for the audio, we are all present. And youth and governance.
The next group's inducted in 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay.
So.
Extra credit.
Yeah. Are there any citizens' comments? Seeing none, citizens' comments is closed. Comments from the chairman. I hope you all got my email regarding suggestions for agenda topics. I thank you for those who have responded already. That is a standing offer, so if you think of something later on down the line, just make sure you throw it out there and communicate it to me directly. Going forward, this meeting will remain at 6 p.m. unless there are any special exceptions. I know there's been some talk about meeting times and that sort of thing. On occasion, when we have longer presentations, we'll probably start earlier for the sake of not running into the county board meeting. But I'm going to try to keep things within 45 minutes to an hour. So when you're making suggestions for meeting topics, keep that in mind, please. Any comments from committee members? Supervisor Gaines?
I have a couple of things I'd like on the next agenda. I would like a Brookside financial update.
It's on the list.
Number of beds, they just Medicare, Medicaid, the changes in that. I mean, I just don't want to go into budget time with, you know, with a hole that we don't know about. So I'd like to have that on our next agenda. I know that they update finance regularly, but I'd like to have them update us. The second thing I'd like is an update on opioids. Maybe someone from the opioid task force, medical examiner, opioid deaths, what we're doing in the preventative area, that type of thing.
Okay. That's what's on the list.
The last thing, but I don't think we'll have time for it on the next agenda. I wanted an update on the health director position and who's filling it and what they're doing, and maybe bring them in on, with the SAMHSA grant numbers and where we are with that. I'm curious to know whether we've been hitting our measurables with that and if we're in line to get another one, or you know, how that's going. So those are some things I thought of today. Thank you.
Thank you for that feedback. Are there any other comments from committee members? Supervisor Scott?
Yeah, I had a conversation over the weekend with a constituent. It was over at the Hope Council ribbon cutting, just discussing, you know, just the human services of the county in general. I'll throw this out to you, Director Jansen, but kind of wanted to see the feasibilities, if it's possible, if there's any way we can create something for our community where if they are in need of help, they can go to a website on the county website and answer a survey or a series of questions, and that it will then direct them to the right department. The issue that was brought up to me was that, you know, the person was in need of help, they needed assistance. I believe there was alcohol abuse, there was
substance
abuse, but there was like multiple factors, and depending on what you need help with would send you to one department over the other department, and the person was was getting the runaround a little bit and being told to go this department, and that department sent them back to kids, and it was going back and forth. So it's very complicated. I Googled, tried to put myself in someone's shoes. If I needed help, where would I go? I Googled Kenosha County like mental health, and it brought me to Kenosha County website was one of the first, you know, one of the first responses, and there's several lists, but from the user standpoint, how do I get help? Where do I go from here? It wasn't exactly clear. I'm just wondering, I know budget season's coming up. I know there's probably costs associated with that. If there's a way that our human services department can kind of streamline that process, that onboarding process per se of, you know, if you're looking for certain services, I know there's different qualifications. I don't even know all the questions to ask, but I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes of somebody that is one of our constituents that is looking for help. Maybe it's substance abuse, maybe it's mental health, maybe it's there's a myriad of different issues. But if there's one place we can send them, that would then direct them to the correct county department. It may be, almost like a flow chart, maybe direct them to the correct services so that they're not calling around from department to department to department. I get there's a lot of different things that we do, and there's a lot of, specifics that people, you're qualifying for this or that. So that's, I've been brainstorming over the weekend. That was one of the things I brought up, wanted to bring it up just to kind of throw that out there, just get feedback on that, if that's something that maybe we could work on as a committee long-term, kind of seeing how we can make our services, easier to access for our constituents, if that's something that they need, even if it's like a fridge magnet that identifies the most common, situations where people would come to the county for help and give them a direct line of this is where you go if you need help in this area, just so that, people don't get lost in the, because it's hard enough to ask for help, I know, for some people, but then to get hit with a bunch of roadblocks or calling around, it gets it's hard for them to do that. So
are you talking just human services related or the entire county?
My focus is on the human services of the county. I mean, if that can be replicated and used for other departments, great. But that wasn't my
more geared just toward mental health and that sort of thing, or like.
Well, there's. I feel like there's a lot of. I feel like there's a lot of overlap. Mental health may also be tied into substance abuse, and there may be other things. And so, where do you go, right? And so, if you're somebody that is struggling in certain areas, there may be some overlap in what services you need, and not knowing where to go. That was a frustration that was shared with me by somebody that was trying to help her friend get help. And I think I'm not sure if it's substance abuse, but they have to call. They can't, for one of the services specifically, they had to call themselves. They couldn't call on behalf of someone else. And so when that person called, they were directed to the wrong department. And so I'm just trying to alleviate and just trying to brainstorm and think, is there ways that we as, as our committee can kind of streamline those services so that the people that are, in need, looking for help, ready to ask, that we're sending them to the right place at the right time.
Well, I mean, what he's describing really is what we're trying to beef up, and that's our resource center.
Okay.
So that is run at Kenosha Human Development Services, and I'm looking at Rebecca because it's under her auspices and direction. And it's really an area that we realize is kind of unknown to those that are out there in the community. So we've talked about how to market that, how to beef up those resources. So that'd be the one stop. You go in there saying, I need help with X, Y, Z, whatever that may be. It doesn't have to be necessarily behavioral health or addiction issues. It's other resources they can reach out to in the community to assist. So we're working on that.
Okay. Yeah. There could be an online aspect to that too, where they could literally just answer. Because I know there's always questions that you're going to have to ask to screen people into any program anyway. And if you can kind of address those upfront ones, they can even be done anonymously. You don't have to get their contact information until they're ready to submit it, or they can call themselves. But just so that we're kind of steering people to the right places, just because there's, I Googled mental health in, mental health help in Kenosha County, and it took me to the county website, but there's a long list of organizations, and where do I go from here? And that's kind of what I would like to maybe just help people with that.
Yeah.
And if there's an online aspect of that, somebody can just answer a few questions and, here's your top three places to call, I think would be really helpful to the community.
So have you guys seen the Racine County website?
Not recently.
I was recently working with Holly White in Racine County and Representative Bob Wickey up there. They were chosen as a participant in a pilot program. It's more focused on mental health, but Holly is a mental health professional who is partnering with the county through her group, and they built a big component of their website that kind of does exactly what you're saying, but it's really more geared toward like mental health as a starting point, where it directs people, if you Google it, so part of it is the search engine optimization, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you Google it, what do you see? It goes there, and then you answer a series of questions, and this might be, these are the services we're directing you toward. And then it also takes them, as far as finding a mental health professional in the area that they can connect with, whether it's online or in person. And then also resources to help, either be subsidized or get help paying for that or whatever. So if you have time, check that out. It's pretty impressive. And I know that the grant for that, I think, is going to be being renewed at some point. And they may want to include more counties in the pilot. I can ask about it. So it just seems like something that would be, you know, expandable to include all services at some point in terms of the technology and the model. So anyway, I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. That's all I have.
Any other comments from committee members? Supervisor Gaines.
Thank you. Yep, Chair. So the I know we're limited in time, but I just wanted to briefly comment that I read a few things, including in the WCA, that some major state budget items have been released. And we're blessed to have our chair also serve in the state assembly. But through the chair to the director, is there anything top of mind that you're seeing in some of this information that was released over the last 24, 48 hours? Some of the, you know, I forget the grant is, they have millions of dollars set aside for a collaborative grant for local governments. So they're doing things that affect state shared revenue, which really isn't the bailiwick of human services, but the collaborative grant might be. And then also, this doesn't affect.
Are you talking about the innovation fund?
Yeah, the innovation fund, yeah. But then, so that one might affect human services. But then there's also the elimination of personal property, which might offset a little bit the gain we get from shared revenue. But is there anything top of mind that you're seeing or you're seeing that might affect our human services operations or funding?
Not specifically off the top of my head, but we just made the announcement on Thursday. There was a series of press conferences on shared revenue and what the assembly proposal is, but I would caution you to know that the Senate is not totally on board yet.
Yeah.
So it could change.
It's all in flux, but there is a laundry list of like 100 items, and some of those were human services. I'm just wondering if you.
I had seen the list recently. Oh, I mean, other than what I reported at the meeting last Tuesday of some potential highlights in the budget, you know, the CSP funded 100% by the state, the increased funding for the ADRC, which hasn't occurred since 2013.
I remember those.
Yeah, but I haven't, other than what they just released this afternoon was on the shared revenue, again, they did a legislative paper on that. So. Yeah, I haven't seen much deeper than that. Basically.
So you're seeing things that help us a little bit, but nothing that's multi-million dollar.
I had to dig.
Okay, good. Right. So we'll, I'm sure, get that later. But I just, since it was all, this is all recent headline news, I was wondering. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's ideal.
If anyone has shared revenue questions, you can just ask me offline, and we can talk about them, a little bit more in the details. But the innovation fund is a new component of that package, and it is encouraging municipalities to find ways to, whether it's combined services or whatever, to save money. And if there's a savings over a period of 1 year and then a second year, the state will provide some reimbursement for some of those projects to a significant level if there's a lot of savings. So I can get more detail on that for you, but again, hesitate to speak too soon until we know we have everybody on board.
If it's too soft and it's a waste of time.
No, I mean, we're almost there. There's ironing out the last few details. So any other supervisor comments?
Well, just that innovation fund is worse. I mean, I've seen different, like maybe half a dozen times that was tried. This one's more than I've ever seen. I mean, even if you adjust for inflation. So it might help.
In terms of shared revenue, not to be off topic here, but they're thinking of more things like joint services. We already have that, right?
Yeah.
But there are other ways that we can probably consolidate and combine services, and you know that comes from within. You know, everybody who works in the county would be the ones who would have those suggestions. You know, like it would have been perfect for what you did in the last budget.
For the crisis.
It would have fit the bill there. So keep up those good ideas coming. So if you want more information on that, I'll get.
We can do it later when it gets more solid. That's it. Sorry.
Okay.
Any other committee members?
Okay. Moving on, we need a motion to approve the minutes from the previous meeting.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Supervisor Gerritsen, seconded by Supervisor Stack. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes are passed. You're up. Next we have Rebecca Dutter with a DADBHS annual report,
yes,
followed by Lake Behavioral Health Hospital update. So,
well, it's actually kind of timely that we talked a little bit about the confusion of where to go for services, because I think the Aging, Disability, and Behavioral Health division is a little confusing for a lot of people because we contract out so much of our services. I mean, we only have 13 county employees in this division. The rest is all contracted out. So we oftentimes lose the identity of who we are because we have things like KHDS runs our resource center. Well, that's truly funded by us. However, they're contracted to run it. When you think about nutrition, you know, Meals on Wheels, that's a CAFASI provides that. However, that's funded by us. So what was important to me in doing this annual report is, and I have a kindergarten granddaughter, and she's learning the show your work theory of math. And when I was putting this together, I was thinking, you know, this is kind of like one of those theories of show your work. If we don't show the big and the little, sometimes we lose what we completely do in our division because it is so contracted out. And like you said, Supervisor Stock, it's a confusing system to navigate when you have, you know, services here, you have services contracted, who's got what. You know, over the last couple of years, we've tried really hard for behavioral health to have an identity in the community because there was no identity of where the county held behavioral health. It's going to continue to stay confusing, but those suggestions like you had, I think, are great so that we can help our community navigate what is kind of a complex system. So if you look at, and the other thing that we did with putting this together is we made it very similar to the way our budget looks. So if you picked up our budget for 2022, you'd sort of be able to follow down on the blocks of the programs as well as some of the programs that we run. And that was important to me too, because oftentimes I hear you guys ask, well, where is that on the line? It's purchase services, but what does that mean? So we really wanted to make sure that it was pretty comprehensive. So the first page just is the general overview or at a glance of all of the departments that fit in with the division. And it is sort of broken out into two, aging and disability kind of on one side and behavioral health on the other side, although they are merged and they cross over often. Then we can skip to where we talk about adult protective services. So this is one of those areas where it's an unfunded mandate. So adult protective services is required by the federal government. The money passes through the state. And in Wisconsin, the money then passes to the counties. There are other states that do regionalization for adult protective services. We don't do that. We do a county-based system. So it's just if you go to Racine, they do it just a tad bit different than we do it here, despite the fact that the statute requires that we provide it. Again, this is an area where a lot of our tax levy has to go into because there is very little funding that supports this requirement of our statute. One thing I wanted to point out is when you look at our volunteer guardianship services, and I'm certainly not going to go through every number for you guys, but feel free to stop me if I'm skipping over something you'd like some more information on. I think what's one area that we often don't talk about is our volunteer guardianship services. So we have a part-time person who recruits and trains volunteers to become guardians. Probably one of the toughest jobs that anybody wants to volunteer at. You know, it's a lot easier to go deliver a meal on wheel than it is to actually serve as somebody's legal guardian. But what I want to point out is the cost savings. So we pay our corporate guardians. So when a person doesn't have anyone to become a guardian and we don't have a volunteer, and that's usually for cases that are pretty tough, we have a couple of contracts with some corporate guardians. They, on a flat fee, charge us about $152 a month. So when you look at the fact that we have volunteers that are serving 56 different wards, we are saving close to about $170,000 a year just on this program. So I think, again, these are programs that we don't often talk about, but they do build in not only really good services, because certainly having a volunteer who gets to know their person, their ward, is so much better than having a corporate that just has to sort of rubber stamp what's going on. So it has a dual purpose. It not only provides for the people that we care for, but it certainly also saves us some money that is, I think, well spent. The Aging and Disability Resource Center. So this is operated under a contract with the state of Wisconsin. So again, as Director Jansen said, we haven't seen an increase in funding in over 13 years for the Aging and Disability Resource Center. However, I can tell you that the requirements that we have to provide have significantly increased as our population has certainly grown older. Within the Aging and Disability Resource Center, we have benefits specialists. We answer the phone Monday through Friday. It's supposed to be set up or designed as like a one-stop shop for people who are over the age of 60 or who have a disability to be able to walk in that door and, like you said, say, I don't know what I need, but this is what's going on with me. And someone can help them walk through all of those programs. There's a lot of services that fit within the Aging and Disability Resource Center. Some of them have a large impact. Some of them have a small impact. But again, this is supported primarily through the contract that we have with the state, and not very much levy supports all the programs that go on in the Aging and Disability Resource Center. One of the big things, one of the biggest reasons why people come in our door is our equipment loan closet. And that is a closet where it's not a closet anymore, it's grown into about 6 rooms, but it's an area where people can donate wheelchairs, walkers, you know, a lot of those supplies that people need on a temporary basis, but they don't want to spend, or they shouldn't spend the money on purchasing those because they're awfully expensive and most of the time insurances don't cover those. So we loan those out to anybody who needs them for as long as they need them. We have a great supportive community which donates to this loan closet on a regular basis. But why it's important to us is, first of all, we're one of the few that have it in the state of Wisconsin, but it also allows us to connect with folks when they walk in the door. So they might be coming in for a walker, but it allows us to have that conversation about, you know, what else potentially could you use in your home? Or what other services can we talk about that you might be eligible for or you need? You know, connecting people to nutrition, connecting people to some of our health and wellness classes, all of those things to keep people as healthy and independent as we can.
Where is the closet?
Well, it's upstairs in our big storeroom, and then it's partially in our office space.
At the job center and at your office?
Yeah.
In your office? So it's at, part of it's upstairs and part of it's in your office?
None of it's in my office, per se.
But it's in your office area.
Correct. So that large vacant storage area we have on the second floor, we converted a portion of that for this loan closet and also moved in. We got donated to us a wheelchair washer, and they rigged up a shower so we can clean the equipment before we get it out. Okay. And then people come into the building to either return the product or to get the product. In the new building, we've designed a specific location for it. It'll be back in the area and have its own, it'll be much nicer than what we have now.
People will be able to drive up along the back of the new building so we can walk the equipment out to them versus having to drag it through our building, which is kind of what we have to do now. One of the other things I want to point out is where it says falls data. Deadly falls, Wisconsin unfortunately has the number one rank in the United States. People over the age of 60 who pass away from falls. As Monica was saying earlier, a fall can be devastating for a lot of people. So we've had a partnership with the City of Kenosha EMS, as well as recently Twin Lakes, Wheatland, and Randall, where we receive a daily report of people who have fallen in their areas. That report, the EMS, we just got done training them again, is EMS asks them if they would like us to reach out to them. If the person indicates yes, we actually have a person who goes to their home who can do a home safety evaluation. We can provide a free one-time physical therapy evaluation. We certainly look to see if we have equipment that could help them stay not falling. And we kind of have the ability to be able to look at the whole picture to say, okay, let's figure out why you fall. Because the statistics show that if we can intervene, the likelihood that they're going to fall again goes down dramatically. There are some people in the community, believe it or not, who show up on that fall report day after day after day after day. And it's really only a matter of time, unfortunately, where they fall and something bad happens, and then they aren't going to be able to return to their home. So that's what we're trying to prevent with this program. And as you can see by the numbers, there are thousands of fallers that happen just in these small little areas. our hope is to reach out to Bristol and Summers and Prairie and Paris and some of the other municipalities by the end of the year. These areas that we have focused on share a computer system that's very easy for them to send us these reports. The other ones, it's just going to be tight and a little bit tougher. So we've just started on the two ends of the county, and we're kind of working our way towards the middle to roll this FALS program out to everyone in the county.
I don't want to drag this on too long, but why do you think Wisconsin has the worst rate?
Well, I think weather plays a role. I think that's a factor. I also think that we have some people living independently that have a lot of care needs, and that's great that we can support them in the community, but oftentimes they're afraid to reach out for help. So it takes a fall for us to kind of see and be able to connect them to services. You know, when I talked, we just did EMS training, and the first question I asked was, why do you think we're not getting as many people saying yes as we'd like to having an intervention with us? And the response was, well, they're afraid you're going to take them out of their home. So it's an uphill battle, and we just recently got a very small grant to be able to provide like a basket of goodies, except it's equipment that we can provide to people who say yes. Since we've implemented this program, we've gone from an 8% yes rate to almost a 15% yes rate. So there's room to grow in this. We've got to work on our incentives and figure out how we can get into those folks, but it's been a really nice collaboration with EMS, and it's just one of those ways that, you know, being able to partner with the people who are already doing the work helps all of us get and help what we need. But I do think we're always going to have that issue of they're here to take me out of their home. And I don't know how we get around that, but we'll continue to keep trying until we can prove to people
we're not. You're going to have that in every state.
Absolutely.
So I'm just curious, you know, what about Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Other than weather.
It could be alcohol, you know, I mean, we do have a high substance rate use here, who knows.
I think we have a greater propensity to have throw rugs at home, too.
Throw rugs, yes.
Ah, throw
rugs,
right.
We used to have a FALS prevention program with the training. Do we still have that?
Well, it's part of our FALS prevention program. I mean, we do offer classes, like evidence-based classes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stepping on, there's Stand Up and Move More. We have several classes.
So that's grown quite a bit.
Absolutely. You know, those classes are funded under the Older Americans Act, which kind of takes us to the next page, which is the Community Living Support Services. So all of the programs that fall under the Community Living Support Programs are funded under the Older Americans Act. So again, federal program where the dollars get distributed to the state, and then the state distributes them onto the county. Again, very little levy goes into support all of these programs. One of the biggest areas of growth that we have seen since the pandemic is the home-delivered meal program, or Meals on Wheels as people know it. Unfortunately, the way that the Title III or the Older Americans Act is set up is that they really encourage seniors to go to the senior dining programs, or they did pre-pandemic. So a lot of the money that's dedicated is dedicated to that, and there's a lot less dedicated to Meals on Wheels. Unfortunately, we have seen that complete flip-flop with the post-pandemic, is that we have a lot of, I think we have people that seriously do not want to go sit at a senior dining site, whether they're afraid of COVID or they've just gotten used to being home or whatever the reason is. The growth in the dining programs is far less than the growth in the Meals on Wheels program. And unfortunately, the funding hasn't really kept up with it. You know, we've had some ARPA dollars that we've been able to use. We have a really nice restaurant model out in the county with Ed Village Pub that does spectacular business, and I wish we could do the same in the city of Kenosha. But, you know, dollars, unfortunately, for nutrition, the dollars have been kind of limited by the growth of the Older Americans Act over the years.
Real quick, is there opportunity with the new center to kind of, as far as the senior dining goes, is there an area in the new building to kind of host that or try to bring that back?
Sure, potentially.
Like,
I mean, there is a...
Call it senior dining, but more of like community hangout center.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, and one of the things that we're looking at is there's so the senior center has a site, West Osha Center has a site right now for senior dining. We have a site on the north side at, it used to be called Parkside Baptist, but it's now called something different. Redeemer. And then we also have a site at Lakeside Towers, so the senior complex down here. it might be that we have to shift around. One is only open a couple of days a week and the other one is, you know, because to be able to create opportunities like that, or to create an opportunity for a restaurant model, because who would rather not go to a restaurant and get their food to, you know, to take out than go to some of the, what we provide at these senior dining sites. So I think, you know, looking future wise, that's going to be the future, is people wanting to do more of the restaurant model food. But we just have to let the funding catch up with the plans, and hopefully it will.
I worked a little bit last year with Nancy Dulin at the Village Pub. And she goes out, so the other dining sites have provide the packaged meals, and she goes out and buys all of her own supplies, and they work right from the restaurant, you know, so it's a little bit different, but with the cost of groceries increasing, and there are specific nutrition requirements with all of these.
Pretty extensive nutrition requirements.
Very hard to stay within those requirements, so it can get expensive. At one point, the county executive and I were talking about Kafasi's involvement.
Kafasi now only manages the senior dining site at, with Nancy, the bills are submitted directly to the county so that we don't have any issues with Kafasi. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. I had not heard that part.
Yeah. It was an easy workaround.
Not that they're not wonderful people.
They are, absolutely.
It just, cost-wise, it needed to come up to speed.
Yep. We were able to actually get Nancy to, working with the state, we were able to kind of find what other restaurant models were looking like in other parts of the state and get her into an area where it was competitive for her. So we didn't lose her because she is our biggest site. So we certainly don't want to lose that opportunity, especially out in the county when it's limited to just West Osha and then Village Pub.
I was out working there. The Village Pub is right on Cogswell and Silver Lake. They do Wednesdays and Fridays from like 11 to 1. And when they were still doing roadside, I had volunteered several times, and they really wanted that senior dining back. Most people were like, when are you opening?
I know.
So yeah. I'm really glad that it came back and that it's working out, because we almost lost her.
Yes, we did. It's all been worked out, and she seems to be.
That's why I haven't heard
from her. Her business is good. Yeah. No news is good news, right?
All right.
Transportation is one of the next. So again, this is another area where services have not rebounded to what we saw pre-pandemic. Certainly with Caravan, which is our paratransit, so that is the service that operates the same hours and the same location-ish as the city bus, so that's this side of the interstate. Caravan is then available for people who need that extra assistance, so they have a wheelchair, they have a walker, so it's an adaptive bus that helps people get to their appointments. Regional transportation sort of came out of a gap of services. So with all transportation, it ends at the county line. Things don't cross over very often. We were finding that, in particular, a lot of people in Kenosha, and I would assume the same as with Racine, they have doctors in Milwaukee. So finding transportation that went to Milwaukee was a challenge for a lot of our older folks, or folks that needed a little extra assistance. So regional transportation sort of grew out of that. It hasn't grown as fast as we would like, and that's simply been because there's just been a shortage of bus drivers to be able to provide some of these services. Volunteer transportation is linking a volunteer to a person who can get in and out of a car. That is a program that's run by Kenosha Area Family Aging Services. And then Western is it's public transportation, so it's not paratransportation, but it's public transportation in the western part of the county. That has significantly decreased since the pandemic started. And we are looking for ways in which to boost the ridership. And we are in the process of having a survey done to try and find out why are people not riding Western like they were prior to the pandemic? You know, it's a door-to-door service, so you don't have to go stand at a bus stop. You can just have them come to your door. But the ridership has significantly decreased. So we're looking at ways to figure out why that is. I don't know if it's people aren't leaving their house as much, people are working remote. I mean, again, we need to find out by doing some work to figure out why that is out in the community.
Supervisor
Shaw. Is this number the current number of trips?
This is 22, yeah. But I will tell you that 23 is sort of mirroring it at this point in time, yeah. Maybe
so
a little higher.
What was the high number then?
Well, when we had a fixed route, so our fixed route was actually a bus line, very similar to like the city. That was pre-pandemic. We were close to 12, 13,000 trips. So, but you know, when we, during the pandemic, we did a survey of riders, and overwhelmingly people did not want the fixed route coming back. So we've kept the model of the door-to-door and not gone to the fixed route, but it almost makes you wonder if the fixed route wasn't the reason why people, I really honestly can't explain it at this point. We need to do some research to try and find out why.
Is this linked to KAC? Is that who you're working with?
Yes, KAC is the provider.
They are the provider. Okay, that's what I thought. It didn't say, that's what the Caravan is.
Yep, Caravan and Western and Regional is done by Kenosha Achievement Center.
And then just to back up a little bit, but with this as well, my thought went to, are you guys working with our veteran services? Because I know a lot of our veterans are you guys kind of working hand in hand with making sure that they,
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ali is down in my office on a regular basis talking about veterans and how we can connect them to services.
I go to the, not as much as I used to, but the Vets Cafe that they have. That's what I was thinking, too, about the community dining. They have those Vets Cafes once a week at Festival Foods in summers, and then one here on the 80th Street Festival. And they love coming out. So I know people are eager to get out and in groups. So that was another thing I thought of is the veterans for dining as well.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously the largest part of our budget, which is our behavioral health services, this does get confusing because the county does not really have any in-house behavioral health services. They are all, for the most part, contracted out with the exception of treatment court. So the resource center, the people who do crisis, the Chapter 51 liaisons, or the people that work with folks that have been detained at the institute, the Bridges, community support program, all of these programs are actually contracted out mainly to Kenosha Human Developmental Services, or KHDS, but also some as well to Oakwood and Professional Services Group. So I do believe that that adds to the confusion in the community because there is such a varied way where, you know, people hear about services here and they hear about services here, but there really wasn't one consolidated area, which is what we're working really hard to try and change so that people understand that behavioral health does lie with the county's responsibility, but it's just partialed out in such a way that it has become very confusing for the person looking for assistance.
Interesting. Are there any questions on the report, Supervisor Geertie?
Sure, the behavioral health, what's the spending budget and the levy budget?
Sure. So the budget for behavioral health in 2022 was $11,764,000, and the levy was $3.25 million approximately. So it's a high levy.
It's over $3 million. That's the biggest part of your levy. We used to have separated departments. We used to have a 5142 board and then a social service. It was called social services at the time. Is this partly what used to be the 5142?
Yes.
Yeah. And then where does the Hope Center fit into this?
The Hope Council is one of the places that we refer to, but it's not funded by us. Oh. The Hope Council operates primarily off of monies that are collected by people who need treatment after they've been court-ordered into the DUI programs.
So you work with them, but not funded?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Good, thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, just talking about our budget just a little bit, so just to go back. So for 2022, the overall division budget was $20 million. So when you look at 3 point whatever million of it going to behavioral health, it is the greatest area where we don't receive a lot of funding via the state or other programs. I mean, we supplement a lot with grant programs to sort of fill some of the gaps, and those are becoming more and more available to us, but it's the pandemic has certainly changed that. Yes.
Thank you. Rebecca, regarding the care center.
Sure.
16 beds at care center?
Yep.
Are they consistently full?
No.
What is the average bed occupancy at care?
So for this year, we've been running somewhere around 10. I can tell you we saw a great shift when the downtown emergency department closed. And I think that was because a lot of these folks would go to the downtown emergency room, and it was easy to get them from there over to, you know, 60th Street where the care center is. It's a lot harder when they're at Aurora, or it's a lot harder for them to get to Aurora or to St. Catharines when they actually reside downtown. So I think that has added to it. Again, it's an area that we need to figure out why hasn't it rebounded as fast as it has, or maybe it's that our community at this point in time isn't meeting that level, and we need to look at what other type of stabilization can we provide to the community.
How long, on the average, is a patient staying at care?
It's typically anywhere between 3 and 5 days. Now, we've had a few extended folks stay there where they've been at the institute and they're ready to be returned to the community. They no longer meet that institute level of care, but we don't have either an appropriate residential setting for them, or there's they're enrolled in a long-term care program, so we're waiting for them to be placed. And we actually just had someone that was there for almost 3 weeks because the long-term care program couldn't find an appropriate home for them. So that kind of skews the numbers, but I would say on average it's anywhere between 3 and 5 days.
Okay, and how about your staffing at CARE? Do you have enough staffing?
They report back to us that they do have enough staffing to staff it at capacity.
And if you're a CNA there, can you just have to be, high school or higher?
Yeah, they don't have CNAs. They're actually called technicians.
Okay.
So they, because the CVRS is not licensed to do personal care, they don't have to have CNAs. So these are just folks that have to have some kind of a mental health background. They don't have to have a college education. It can certainly be someone that has a high school diploma who has some experience working with folks with mental health.
And what is their rate of pay?
I believe they're like $17 or $18, somewhere in there. We just looked at it, so I believe they've had some staff that have been there for a long time, so of course they're making more because they're wonderful and we need to pay them more.
Yeah.
But the new staff coming in are somewhere between $17 and $18.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions from the committee? To the Redlands.
Jumping on his point, what does a crisis contact look like? Walk me through that.
Sure. So a crisis contact would be somebody calls in the community to say, you know, I mean, it can range from somebody saying I'm suicidal, I want to end my life, and that's obviously a crisis worker is immediately dispatched up to a situation like that. But it could also be something like warm calls, and we refer to them as warm calls, where the person is calling saying, you know, I'm really struggling. This event happened in my life today. I'm not suicidal, but I need some assistance. Just walk me through, talk to me, just provide that ear. It's really everything in between. We have people, and we've tried really hard to boost the resource center so that the calls that are going to crisis are truly crisis calls, although I will say that they still receive a lot of resource calls after hours where, you know, people are just looking for assistance in the community, like, you know, somebody calling after hours is, where do I get alcohol counseling? Those calls still come through the resource line on the crisis line on a regular basis. But it can be, they respond frequently to the emergency rooms when law enforcement have intervened and have somebody there who they're, looking to see whether or not they fit the requirement for the 51 detention. But it's a wide range. You know, I think for the longest time, this community, we promoted that crisis line. So it's become a catch-all of all of the services because there aren't many that are after 5 o'clock. Trying to walk that back a little bit with the community is going to take us some time as we boost the resource center to be able to take a lot of those calls.
I think that there's our people in each of the departments that somebody would have a problem with are very talented and very good, but I can certainly see, you know, there's no index, no way to go, and I think that's really not a good thing. So what about partnering up with IT and having some meetings there where you can even have a phone call, like, here, if you're looking for this, punch one, and have somebody there to answer that phone, where you break it down into 10 issues that you can have, or something
right.
like that. I mean,
right.
like I said, we have so much talent all
right.
through our department, but it's very confusing of how the roadmap should go.
It is.
So I'm not going to go into a big, long diatribe of what we've already talked about, but I mean, maybe partner with IT, maybe, I don't know, but there has to be a way to
right.
to have a table of contents some way.
I agree. I think it's an excellent idea.
We need to figure that out some way, because we're too talented and we offer too many services to have people confused in our community. We have to work on that. So
I agree.
Thank you.
Sure. Any other comments or questions from the committee? Okay. Moving on to Lake Behavior Plan. I'm excited for this.
Lake. I was excited until this morning. So the Lake project has gone, it's been more probably 6 or 7 years now into this. And as many as you know, it started with us having to get the state of Illinois to change their actual, their laws so that we could do this. We got through all of the law enforcement agencies, getting it through the county board or through the city, however we needed to do. And we are, as of yesterday, we are waiting on Lake County Sheriff's Department to sign off on the agreement. Everyone else is done. Everyone else is done. Well, Lake County Sheriff's Department reached out to their, who did we say, John? It was their
state's attorney's office.
Yes, who advised them not to sign the contract. So we're working with them. I don't think that it's insurmountable. I think they are not, unfortunately, they haven't gotten the correct information. So we're trying to figure out how to get them the correct information. But every other municipality has signed on. Unfortunately, this is just the one hiccup that we have right now that we didn't foresee, because they've had this agreement now for over a year.
I hadn't heard this happen. So I was curious if they gave you any reasoning as to why they were advised not to sign on.
No, our Corporation Counsel's Office is the one that's doing the communication with them. And the first we were told was that they didn't need their permission, and we're still being told that the state attorney does not have to give consent for them to sign it. But it sounds like the Lake County Sheriff is saying, well, I want their consent to be able to sign this. So I think there's just a little snafu of information that Corporation Counsel can work on to be able to get them to get this signed.
And just so folks understand, when we say state's attorney in Illinois, that's equivalent to the district attorney
right.
here. So
mm-hmm.
it's the state's
yeah.
attorney for Lake County.
Right.
It's not the larger attorney for the whole state of Illinois.
Is
so.
It the same state's attorney that's been around during all the negotiations on this?
My understanding is no, because
yeah,
we've worked with every single municipality. So Zion had their own person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Waukegan has their own person. There's a lot of players involved when you're working with each individual department. Again, I don't think it's insurmountable. I mean, their law allows it. I think it's just a matter of Corporation Counsel doing some education with them to say.
Lawyer to lawyer.
Yeah, lawyer to lawyer. Like, this is, you know, look at your own law and see that this is allowable. So we had hoped for a May 1st kickoff. We were on target for a May 1st kickoff, and I think our hope continues every day that we'll get the news that they have signed it. And then we are ready to go. Some of our law enforcement have toured Lake. We've met with the doctors. We had a big meeting a couple of weeks ago where we brought the doctors in from Lake to meet with all the players. So every municipality for law enforcement was present. The two emergency rooms in town were present. So everybody was brought to the table to talk about, this is the process, this is how it's going to look. So I think it will be very seamless. Right now, Lake is taking voluntary patients. So it's people that have a need but don't really need to be detained. So they're already taking voluntary people, and it's going very well. They have iPads in Aurora's ER so that Lake can directly communicate with the emergency room, and it goes very smoothly. Freighted has been a little resistive, but again, that's something we can easily fix. So it's all really going well. I don't want it to be a downer, but this is just one little hiccup that we really weren't anticipating at this point in time.
I wanted to tell you that when all of the sheriffs came up for their day in the Capitol, I heard several of them talking about this agreement and what a huge accomplishment it was, and what an amazing group of people it was that worked over the years to put this together, and how envious they are that we're over here having access to that. Hopefully that can be used as a model going forward for maybe other partnerships, you know, that are in areas that can work with maybe out of state or whatever. So.
I mean, I think that is one thing to remember, is this is unprecedented. This has never happened in the state of Wisconsin. So we are getting some roadblocks that were, you know, just because of misinformation, or perhaps people don't have the correct information. But we'll get there.
Changing players over time and after, you know, that kind of thing. Yep. Well, yep. Very glad to hear.
We're still very hopeful it'll be this month.
Supervisor Gearson.
So thank you. So when I worked here, I would work with corp counsel. I mean, I did many tens and hundreds of millions of dollars of contracts, and I worked with corp counsel. And I would work with the sheriff on contracts. The sheriff, I would work with the sheriff on when they were purchasing stuff, when they were doing intergovernmental contracts, let's say with the local government to provide sheriffing. And I would work with corp counsel. Is this like the sheriff, instead of working with corp counsel, going to the district attorney?
They have a strange system that is a little foreign to me. I don't think they have a corporation counsel.
So they use what we have as our DA, also
right.
Doubling.
Right, that's what they call the state's attorney. Yeah. Right, it's a unique situation, and again, they've been in the know of this contract for a year. So all the other municipalities had already walked it through their, whoever their attorney was. Now the Lake County Sheriff, I guess I need to back up and say, he is completely on board.
Yeah.
It's a matter of him believing that he needs this permission to be able to sign it. But he's on board with it. I mean, it certainly, you know, they have mutual aid agreements to bring prisoners through. So this isn't like it's not heard of. They understand the concept of it. I think it's just so new that people are struggling with the idea of how does the law work crossing the state line.
So it's like when I worked on stuff, I would work extensively and vet the heck out of it. And I wouldn't all of a sudden have a contract that court counsel all of a sudden surprisingly was surprised
right.
by. And so you got to think they were working with them all. And then at the 11th hour, for whatever reason, they said no. I mean, that's the way it seems to me.
It is. I mean, corporation counsel certainly would have more details
yeah.
on how that all worked. But remember, this started with us thinking that we could just do memos of understanding, very similar to their mutual aid agreements. Then we quickly realized that they, especially Lake County, wanted these intergovernmental agreements, which are fine. I mean,
yeah.
that was fine. So we shifted gears and started working on that. So they, I mean, the Lake County Sheriff has been in communication with our corporation counsel on multiple occasions.
I just remember hearing reports that they've been working together this whole time.
Yeah.
We've done other ones, like we did that one for the roundabout, where we had to have a contract. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just stuff.
Right.
And they didn't have problems with it.
I will be honest. I think people, the minute that they hear that these are people that are under emergency detentions, if we could, you know, their
yeah.
ears perk up a little
yeah.
bit more, because you start thinking, okay, you know, who are these folks that are coming down? You know, you hear of the mentally unstable person, and this is who you're transporting. I think they are. I mean, I don't want to put words in their mouth,
no.
but I would think instead of a roundabout, which is kind of benign, this is more like, ooh, you know, we're bringing people in, and are we going to have to help? And but, you know, our sheriff has been in contact with the sheriff. I mean, we're connecting all the dots that we can. It's just a matter of time.
Joe and Jen and John will get it figured out.
They will. They will. We're just, at this point in time, trying to stay out of it so we don't muck
yeah,
up the waters
yeah,
anymore.
That's all I have.
We're excited to see it kick off, hopefully sooner than later.
Yes.
Any other comments from the committee? Supervisor Gaines?
Did the Lake County Sheriff participate when all the sheriffs came up?
No, we only had our local.
Oh, our
yeah,
local.
Yeah, we only had
stuff.
The state of
okay.
Wisconsin folks up here, our county folks that participated in that.
Yeah, I mean, it's too early for me to ask questions like how is our staff going to interact with that and potential savings and that type of thing. So I'll wait till you get that ironed out. But,
yeah.
Okay.
I think it will be huge savings, but again, it's hard to predict.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
But without having it all ironed out,
right.
It would be premature to ask for that information. So.
Well, I appreciate that.
No problem.
Any other questions or comments from the committee? Any comments or questions from other supervisors in attendance?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate
you so very much for always being willing to come after your birthday and give us our updates.
Thank you.
Any other businesses authorized by law?
Thank you. So we have a little time. We don't start till 7:30. So what's the status on the Brookside House? Do you know?
Public Works, I believe, got the keys to that house on Friday. Did a walkthrough. Said it's in great shape, and there were some things that were left, so like a refrigerator, a stove, a couple beds, and a washer dryer, so we'll be looking for probably donating those to an agency or two for usage, but that's all I know on it right at this point in time.
So we're being careful with the assets there and making sure they're properly handled and someone doesn't come in and take them or sell them at a lower than market cost and that kind of a thing. So.
I believe that's all Public Works answer.
Oh, well, could you work with them and be sure?
I will relay that message.
Human services property, and then are they going to demo it or what are they going to do?
I'm not sure what the plan is, but the county bought it for the land, so I can't imagine the house will stay.
I just, maybe there's some stuff that can go under deposit too, I don't know. That's all I have.
Supervisor comments?
Their plan is to knock it down.
They're going to demo it.
High gluten, high rise condos it.
Just make sure all this content's in there, people don't help themselves. That just makes me nervous. I'm sorry about that.
I don't think there's much left of them, what I was told.
You could take a furnace that's worth $1,000,
copper pipes.
So I'd like to have the next agenda suggestions to Director Jansen within the next 2 weeks. So if anybody has any additional items they're thinking they want to address during our meetings, I'll kind of put them all together, see where we have some commonalities and prioritize them according to, where we had overlap in the suggestions, and we'll go from there. So during your meeting in 2 weeks, you can jingle.
Okay. And I will let the committee know there will be at least two resolutions on the June board. You'll hear them being referred to committee tonight. One is a grant that Rebecca's division got, and another is the first movement on the opioid settlement dollars. There's a recommendation for a position, so that might be a good time to have a presentation just off of that so you understand what's going on.
Great. Okay. Do you have a motion to adjourn?
So, motion to adjourn.
Second. Motion to adjourn by Supervisor Fox, second by Supervisor Uhas. All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, no. Help my dog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.